Oh, man, you are going to love the next guest on the show. Frazier Bailey and his wife, Lauren, are founders of Evolving Alpha, vegan nutritionists and strength coaches. Evolving Alpha is an idea that men and women can be strong, powerful, healthy, fit, and lean while living a life full of compassion, equality, and understanding. You don't want to miss this episode if you're trying to get in shape and improve your life. Next on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Patrick here. Thank you for tuning in. We know you got many options, many podcasts out there, but thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with us. That's why we continue to grow. You're sharing it with your family and friends. You're giving us those five-star rating on iTunes. We sure do appreciate it. Big shout out to all the brave men and women who work in the criminal justice field or serve in the military, whatever you were doing out there. Thank you for tuning in. If you're new to the show, hey, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you love the show and you love the content and the great guests we have. If you've been with us for a while, welcome back. Thank you so much for the support. Such an honor to be partnered with great organizations, great companies, and one of those is Detectachem. Detectachem is an amazing and innovative company that is protecting our brave men and women in uniform. Mobile threat detection is here, folks, available for the palm of your hand, detecting various drugs out there, explosives to keep our brave men and women safe. Head over to the website, cjevolution.com, click on the link to Detectachem and see how they can help keep your troops safe. The team at CJ Evolution is so excited to be partnered with Onnit. Onnit is total human optimization. Whether you're an athlete, professional, retiree, parent, firefighter, criminal justice person, police officer, we're all human trying to get a little better at what we love every day. The human body is our instrument that we play to achieve greatness, and optimizing it for peak performance requires the proper nutrition, fitness, and supplementation. Onnit provides these foundations to support your human journey. Check out the link at cjevolution.com and see how Onnit can help you. Hey, I want to give a big shout out to my friend Ryan Muncy. He's been on the show a couple times. And if you don't know who Ryan is, he's a very successful best-selling author and co-founder of the Better Human Project. Ryan is a sought-after thought leader who specializes in high performance and the development of both individuals and organizations. And if you're around the Denver area tomorrow, Saturday, August 10th, Ryan is going to be at Compass Fitness from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. And he's going to host a Better Human workshop. I'm going to be there. I'm pumped. And if you can stop by, there's few slots available. So register at ryanmuncy.com and also check out everywhere else Ryan's going to be around the country, again at ryanmuncy.com. On to the show with Frazier Bailey. Very excited to have my next guest on the show. His name is Frazier Bailey. He and his wife, Lauren, wife and husband team, they're the founders of Evolving Alpha, vegan nutritionist and strength coaches. Welcome, Frazier.
Patrick, it is an absolute pleasure, and I'm excited to dive in with you.
Well, thank you so much, brother, for being here. We were talking a little bit off the air, and you're originally from New Zealand, correct?
That is correct. The opposite side of the world to where I'm living now, in Louisiana. Humid, hot Louisiana.
Yeah, and it's brutal down there right now. We were talking. I told Frazier, I said, you need to come up to Colorado, brother. It's hot, but we don't have the humidity. We don't have a lot of water. So you have done so much. You're continuing to help so many people, thousands and thousands of people, Frazier, you and your wife. What was the catalyst, brother, that got you on your path to where you're going right now?
It's a crazy, crazy, crazy journey, Patrick. It starts out, you know, I'm 34 now. It starts out in my mid-teens. I left school early. I had a lot of mental health issues growing up, diagnosed with bipolar disorder, severe social anxiety, ADHD, learning disability. I was heavily medicated for all of those things for a long period of time. Diet was terrible. I worked as a butcher. I was working there after school part-time, didn't do well in school. Just obviously I just was struggling with my mental health, fell out of school. 'Cause I was like, you know what? I fell into this belief that I was just stupid. Like I just didn't have an intelligence that other people seem to have. Maybe this is just the way I am. Let's just go out and make some money. And so I left school, started as a butcher. That environment was super toxic for me because what I found was that a lot of people who worked in that environment were alcoholics. They used drugs. They were violent. They just had the same potential tendencies that I was starting to present. And I found that being in an environment like that with those people, it seemed to definitely proliferate those negative tendencies. And I found that over a period of years going through that process, dude, I spiraled down a really bad path. I mean, if you were a police officer in New Zealand, you would have probably come across me at some point and wanted to just lock me up. Like I was in the other end of the spectrum where I was out drinking and driving. I was just doing so many things that were so irresponsible. And I truly didn't even think about the potential ramifications of that. I didn't think about who I could potentially hurt. It never crossed my mind. And so I went through this whole process of really going downhill in a big way. And what I found was that going down to those sort of like rock bottom depths where I was suicidal and I had went through some really painful relationships and I had really bad associations with people who like are now in prison, for example, I spoke differently. I looked differently. Everything about my life was different. But part of me knew that I could do more. Like part of me was like, I just know that there's more to my life than this. And I feel like I'm selling myself short. And so from there, it was a series of steps. You know, I could go into it in a lot of depth, but for the sake of keeping it short, I won't. But there was a series of steps and sort of realizations that I went through in my life where I quit that job and I went back to college to study nutrition. And then I started to learn more about psychology and I started to go to the gym. And then by going in the gym, I started to be around people who ate healthier and had better mindsets. And then over time, I just started to get new friends and circles of friends. And I started to develop new interests and hobbies and passions. And through that, I really started to shift a lot of my dietary patterns, a lot of my lifestyle choices, stopped drinking, stopped doing drugs, got off all my medications that I was on, have been medication free for over 10 years now. It's a night and day change. And ultimately, one of the biggest changes in my life was coming to America, where I actually met my wife, Lauren, on Facebook.
Wow.
And coming from a guy who used to have severe social anxiety, who struggled to just leave their house, if I wanted to leave my house, it would be because I was drinking and I needed the alcohol as like a lubricant to like help me not feel anxious. And so to leave the country I was in and fly to another country by myself to meet this person I'd never met physically before. It was such a surreal experience for me. And when we did meet and it felt like I'd just been away on an extended work tour or something, and that everything fell into place and we just connected and like, you know, is on, I'm still here. And now we have a beautiful little daughter, Zia, who's just turned one.
Wow.
This past weekend.
Congratulations.
And thank you, man. And it makes me just realize that all these things that I've achieved always were on the other side of that fear, anxiety, and uncertainty. So yeah, there's so much to it, but yeah, man, let's dig in.
Yeah. Yeah. And just really quick, I mean, I love it, Fraser. I commend you, you know, for just turning your life around, brother. And I'm glad you met your wife and you got a beautiful little daughter. And yeah, I mean, we were talking again a little bit off the air about it, the power of mindset, brother. I mean, once you change that, you know, mindset and, you know, you want to go for bigger and better things and you surround yourself with those good and positive influences in your life, I don't care what you're doing out there, folks, you can do it. And Fraser is a good example about that. Let's talk about how can people optimize themselves. I know you talk a lot about, you're an expert in nutrition. You know, again, we were talking about this off the air. I mean, I think we live in a world, you know, Fraser, and you tell me if I'm wrong, brother, where we have so much garbage out there that we're consuming. And how do people eat clean and healthy? And because it seems like you're always getting confusing information from the news. Oh, 1 minute this was good, and then next minute it's bad. I know that's probably a broad question, but, you know, how can we eat better?
It's, and, you know, one of the things that you just mentioned is, you know, there's so much garbage out there. And I think one of the most important things to for people to understand, you know, whether you're an entrepreneur or you're currently in law enforcement and you're looking to, like, optimize yourself. Because, right, like, ultimately, at the end of the day, we want to find ways to optimize ourselves, better energy, better sleep, better mood, more athletic, more output, less issues and barriers and injuries and things going wrong. And like what you just said is there's so much garbage out there, and garbage just doesn't come in the form of nutrition. It can come in the form of social media. It can come in the form of news media. It can come in the form of environmental exposures. Like, what are we being exposed to in the environment in terms of air quality, water quality, sunlight exposure? So what I'll do is I'll essentially break it down into a couple of different pillars. And when we're coaching people, we talk about these different pillars as sort of foundational processes. So on one aspect, you have your training. And so that's sort of your workout, your stimulus for, you know, breaking down your body to allow it to then get stronger once you go into some recovery protocols. Then you have your nutrition. You obviously have your lifestyle modifications around, you know, sleep quality, sleep depth, air quality, tracking things to know what's working and know what's not. And one of the things that I think is most important for people to remember when it comes to nutrition is that your body will speak to you when things are not going well. Typically, the issue, though, is that we do one of two things. One, we either use a medication or we use something to mask that signal, or we misinterpret the signal entirely and we think that it's something that it's not. And so an example of both examples would be, say, for instance, you're getting acid reflux. And you're getting acid reflux because you're just consuming so much processed, oily, sugary food, and your body is essentially just not handling these chemicals in your system well. And so you start getting reflux and you feel indigestion. And I mean, that in and of itself is awful for a lot of people. What they do is, rather than going, maybe I need to change my diet and consume more whole foods, they'll just take an antacid or a reflux medication like Nexium. And what it does is it suppresses the symptom, but it doesn't actually address the chronic underlying pattern. So they might be eating foods that are causing systemic inflammation in their body, you know, atherosclerosis of the linings of their blood vessels and their heart and brain. It could be de-optimizing hormones, creating insulin resistance, but they're taking something to block the reflux. And so they don't even know that their dietary patterns are actually affecting them far beyond just that reflux. Or alternatively, the other thing that can be an issue is, say, for instance, if someone's craving a lot of just food or junk food or salty food or sugary food, often it's just dehydration. See, when we get a signal and we're like, we need something, we need some form of input, we often misinterpret a dehydration signal as a hunger cue. And so we eat more food, which makes us more dehydrated. And then we eat more food again because that food then requires more water. And so unless we understand what the body's essentially trying to tell us, that's where we get into trouble. And so in terms of nutrition, because I'm plant-based, so like when I say like vegan, like there's two, when it comes to a vegan diet, there's two different, again, types of processes here. You can be unhealthy as a vegan. Oreos are vegan. You can get vegan donuts. You can get, like, so much junk food out there that is vegan. It's not healthy for you. Whole food plant-based is what I do typically, which is really like, it's whole food in nature. So you're going to have chickpeas, lentils, other legumes, nuts, hemp-based products, you know, tempeh, tofu, different things like that. I find that if you add as many whole foods into your diet as possible and crowd out the processed food, that's the start. That's the beginning. Like, often what I tell people is like, well, I have to remove everything. Like, then what am I meant to eat? My whole thing is add things in, crowd out the old foods enough that you don't even feel like you're removing things. So that's the first process. And then obviously, when it comes to bringing other junk in, you're going to have environmental exposures. Like, you want to make sure your air quality is good. So there's things like there's a product on the market called a molecule, and that basically it's a new type of air filtration system where it literally uses ultraviolet light to vaporize viruses. And so it's, people don't realize that air quality alone and water quality is really, really big components of health. And because our respiratory system is such a huge part of our internal workings. And so, and then even just things like sun exposure and literally getting sunlight into your eyes. A lot of people wear sunglasses all the time. What happens is you have so many photoreceptors in your eyes that will trigger vitamin D production. And so getting sunlight into your eyes, for example. So there's lots and lots of things that people don't do that are like, sort of like you said, the junk and the junk that's just outside of diet alone. So yeah, it's a lot of stuff, I know, but it's definitely worth trying to address like aspects of all these different pillars.
Yeah. And I think, you tell me if I'm wrong, Fraser, we live in a instant gratification society. And I think people need to realize if somebody wants to turn their life around, whether it's, you know, nutrition, reaching total optimization, you're going to have to put in the work. There's no magic formula that is, unless I'm wrong, that, you know, I want it, if there is, there's no, I mean, you got to put in the work. You know, it just made me think of when you were talking about, I mean, you talk to thousands of people and coach a ton of people. And I imagine a lot of them are like, well, why do I have to do that? Why do I have to do that? Because you have to put in the work, right?
No, what, yeah, dude, it is absolutely true. And one of the things that I will often tell people is that if more information was the solution, we would all have the result that we want. And so the reason why I'm saying this is because often the result lies in simplicity and it lies in consistency and it lies in doing the hard things. And so often what people will do is they'll prioritize trying to do easy things first, lots and lots of easy things as a way to try and hack and shortcut the process. Because now you see so many things about hacks and tips and shortcuts. And in reality, a lot of this is just cultivating discipline with yourself. And part of that, like you were saying earlier, is really learning to cultivate a different mindset. And part of it, I think, is understanding that we can either have this fixed mindset. So Carol Dweck, she wrote this book called Mindset. It's this amazing book. And she talks about the fixed mindset versus the growth mindset. And Fraser, in his teenage years, when he was struggling with mental health and his school grades, had a fixed mindset around this belief that I'm somehow flawed, like my mental health is some hard wiring in me and I'm just not an intelligent person. And because of that, I started to live into those traits even more. Like I lived into those crutches and those barriers and those labels more. When I started to recognize that my growth mindset, and what that means is essentially recognizing that your mind is malleable and you can, if you have the patience and the fortitude to cultivate an open student mindset, you can learn pretty much anything that you want. And so going from this person who was severely socially anxious and drunk all the time and just a complete hot mess to where I am now, I knew that it had to be come down to not avoiding the hard work, you know, not avoiding going into the gym and putting that time in at 4:30 in the morning when I could easily just be sleeping because I work from home. So I could just lay in bed and watch Netflix all morning. But I just, I recognize that I look at people who do those habits and they don't have the results or life that I would want. And I ask myself, if the people around me don't have the life and results that I want, then I have to have different habits, routines, and rituals.
Sure.
Right? Yeah.
And I just believe too, Fraser, in not only mindset, but the, and I guess this ties into mindset, what I'm about to say, is the power of attraction. So whatever you put out there, it made me think of the gentleman you were talking about. You know, my life sucks. I can never change. I'm always going to be stuck with my issues and my mental health issues. If you're putting that out to the universe, guess what? The universe is going to reciprocate and keep giving you that back, correct? And it goes into the mindset.
And you look at people who have that mentality. So for any listeners right now who might be feeling down and out or struggling, look at your physiology when you think like that. You tend to slouch. Your breathing is shallow. You have no facial expression. Your energy is low. You mumble. Everything about your physiology is associated with that low sort of mental state. People see that. People feel that. And if you put off that vibe, people are not going to be positively influenced or impacted by you. And so sometimes what I will do, and what one of the coolest things that I've found has been helpful, and this is backed by research, is that often if you're feeling kind of down and out, rather than trying to think your way out of that loop, you literally need to just change your physiology. That's why working out is so effective, because moving your body can literally create a different neurochemical and hormonal response. And so often if I'm feeling kind of down and out, and then all of a sudden I kind of gut check myself and I realize that I'm all slouchy and my posture is just off, I get myself up, I do 20 jumping jacks, and I literally like hold my posture as if I'm confident. And they've literally done research to this, and they've seen hormonal changes in people within 1 minute of doing it that elicit like a positive response. And so what I'm trying to say is that if sometimes you literally need to change your body and move your body to then move your mental state. Yeah. Often people do the other way, and people are like, well, once I feel better mentally, I'll start working out. Once I feel better mentally, I'll get up earlier and I'll start doing these hard things. Often we can't think our way out of that loop. We literally have to use our body first, and then the mind tends to follow that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's happened to me many times, and of course you, Fraser, and maybe people out there listening. There's been plenty of times where I didn't want to go to the gym. I didn't feel like it. I was feeling lazy, and then I go to the gym. You know, you start moving, endorphins start kicking in.
Exactly.
And you feel better.
Yeah, it's that. I mean, and that's the whole thing, is that I try to tell people that you need to, the actions that you do need to be from the frame of mind of how do I want to feel after this action. And so like a lot of people, that's where it comes back to like eating processed foods and stuff. One of the biggest things I'll say to my clients is you need to think ahead of time, and before you make any decisions with your dietary patterns, how do you want to feel after you eat this? Yeah. Like, and if you really contemplate that before the fact, typically what you'll start to notice is that you become more and more aware of how bad you do feel once you eat processed foods. Like the blood sugar spike that ensues once you eat some processed sugary stuff, which then creates the blood sugar crash. And that's what you experience when you feel like the highs and lows and the lethargy and the brain fog. That yeah. brain fog and that lethargy is essentially blood sugar instability. And so the more stable you can make your blood sugar, the more high levels of energy and the more consistency in terms of your creativity and cognition you're going to have.
Yeah. And it's so, I mean, everything, I mean, like you said, it's tied
everything,
to fitness, nutrition. Now let's talk about coaching, Fraser. I know you coach a ton of people. Yeah. You've coached, my God, some high-profile people. Chris Daughtry, for those of you listening, former American Idol. Cameron Alder, you've coached law enforcement, Green Berets. How important, brother, is a coach? Because I have a personal coach. I think everybody out there needs a coach at some point in their life. You can't do it on your own. We need people like you and your wife that are experts. Yeah. To coach us through these difficult parts. I mean, how what do you think about coaching? I mean, obviously you're a coach, but should people get coaches?
Yeah. I think, put it this way, if you want to compress down your learning curve and remove all the added stress that comes with decision making, trying to navigate the minefield of information that we live in, that those two things alone are worth it. So like the reason why I think coaching is very beneficial is because when people try and do things by themselves, they're going to go through a lot of trial and error and struggles, and they're going to go down the wrong paths and make a lot of mistakes. When in fact, if you had a coach, you could compress down your learning curve. So what might take you 10 years to master by yourself might take you 1 year with a good coach. And the same process in terms of basically removing, see, the thing is, people often will say things like, well, I'm just so busy right now, I don't really have time for a coach or time to do this. That's actually the reason why you need one. Mm-hmm. Because very often we're doing, and I kind of say, you know, we're spinning a lot of plates, but none of them are feeding us. And so like we're doing a lot of things, we're busy doing a lot of things, and we have a lot of irons in the fire, but none of them are getting hot enough to make like a sword worth. Mm-hmm. And so so that's why we feel overwhelmed, because we have all these things we're doing, we think we need to do, because we don't actually know which one is the right one. And so having a good coach, they actually will help you remove things out of your life, do a couple of the core things well to actually reduce down your stress load and reduce down your decision-making. I think that, and also one of the things, as you probably know, like when you're in your own head, you can't see the forest through the trees. And so you don't know often what you don't know. You don't really know where your blind spots are. And I think it's really important to have an objective perspective of someone coming in and saying, hey, like this, and this is off. And just because you're in the moment and you're tired and it's your life and it's your brain, you didn't see it.
Yeah.
And they just shone some light. And sometimes, very often, Patrick, like we know what we should be doing, like we just don't do it.
Yeah.
And that's I think one of the biggest things is that I found with a lot of people, they ultimately know what they should be doing, they just simply don't do it unless they have something to be accountable to. And that's one of the things that I found, for example, with Chris Daughtry, the musician, is that one of the biggest things, we got to the point with him where he probably knows more than most nutritionists. I mean, I've coached him for a long time now and he knows so much, but when I don't have contact with him, that's when he starts to slip back into old patterns, even though he knows what he should be doing.
Exactly.
purely because he doesn't have an accountability system. And so I think that coaching, like for me, like, and some people, you know, may not have the money to get a certain coach, but you can read books, you can listen to podcasts, you can absorb people's information, and in that way you can get some degree of coaching from them early on to get you out of that rut, to get you in a place where you can potentially afford their coaching services later on. But I'm all for coaching. I want to compress down my learning curve. I want to eliminate hurdles and indecision and roadblocks, and that's why, I mean, we even have coaches ourselves. Like, you know, I think that you want to find coaches that have coaches, because if a coach doesn't have a coach, then you got to ask yourself, do they really believe in their own process?
Yeah, that's a great point. And you brought a good point up, Fraser, about, you know, people might be listening saying, well, you know, I don't have the money. And that might be the case. But if you really, for me, I mean, I guess my thought is, you know, you can cut out, because it's an investment in yourself. And I believe in constant education, constant improvement. The next time you're going through the Starbucks line or going through a fast food, you could be saying, you know what, I'm going to save this money and I'm going to reinvest in myself. Because ultimately that's going to pay off. And like you said, Fraser, it's going to cut down the learning curve in time significantly. Because really, that's all we really have, you know, is we have time. And what are you spending your time on? Are you spending it, you know, surrounding yourself with great people, getting really good coaching advice or having a coach, you know, putting good things in your body? That's all we have is time, you know, and that most of us at the end of our life are regretting that we didn't do things.
One of the things that I always want to touch on quickly that you made a really good point is that about the Starbucks line and prioritizing where your values are. And one of the things I've said to people before, and this has been one of the biggest shifts that I had in my own life, and I was able to translate it over to like all areas of my life, whether it's health, fitness, anything, is that rather than saying, I can't afford that, or I can't do this, or I can't XYZ, what do I have to do in order to generate this result? And like reverse engineer it. So like if it comes to something monetary, I think to myself, what value do I need to add to the marketplace? Like who can I serve? Like what value can I provide to someone who needs my services in order to generate this result that I'm looking for? Rather than just residing to the fact that, oh, I can't do that. Because if as long as I think like that, I'm never ever going to change the result. And so what I do and how that translates to health and fitness is if you think, oh, I'm just not a morning person, or I'm just an overweight person, or I'm never going to be able to quit like drinking, or I'm never going to be able to stop eating junk food. As long as you say those things, you're just going to live into them rather than saying, what type of mindsets do I need to adopt? Who do I need to be around? What type of environments do I need to put myself in order to start to become the type of person who doesn't value these things anymore?
Exactly.
See, that's part of the problem is that the reason why we do things that seem to roadblock us is because we see some kind of reward mechanism in them. Rather than fighting the compulsion to eat the cookie all the time, you need to grow into the type of person who doesn't need the cookie as a reward mechanism in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that really comes back to mindset. And that really takes that cultivating of like, what do you value? Do you value peak performance? Do you value optimal health? Do you value higher energy? Do you want to be around for your kids for longer? If so, those are the rewards. Those are the things you value. The cookie's not the value mechanism anymore. And so you don't have this emotional pull to it like you used to.
What about, you hit on the mornings, Frazier. I talk to successful people like you all the time, brother. And I'd be interesting to know if you have a morning routine, and if you do, what is it?
Ironically enough, my morning routine actually begins the night before. And so I think, like you touched on, I think anyone who has some degree of success in their life has automated aspects of their life, because you have to be able to automate processes to remove all those decisions from your head so you can focus on the stuff that really matters. And so my morning routine starts the night before, in the sense that I train early. So I get up at 3:45 in the morning. And I head to the gym, and I'm at the gym by 4:45. And so I have an hour before I'm in at the gym. And so what I'll do is I recognize that because that's not a large time window to get up, get ready, do parts of my morning routine that I want, let our dogs out to go to the bathroom and do all that stuff, I engineer and I reverse engineer and remove as many obstacles the night before that could prevent like procrastination. And so what I do is the night before, make sure my gym bag is ready. I literally put water and stuff in my shaker bottles for the gym. I have my little pot of coffee on the stove, literally ready to just turn the stove on and it boils. I don't have to put coffee in the pot or anything. It's in there already. All my clothes are folded by the side of my bed. So when I first get up, they're right there, and I go straight into the bathroom. And the first thing I do is I have my phone on airplane mode, because I turn it on airplane mode at nighttime. And because I just want to like detach off social media, not get text messages, turn everything off. But I'll pre-select a podcast the night before. And so the reason why I pre-selected the night before is because I don't want to like get up and then kind of scroll through and spend 5 minutes trying to find something I want to listen to. Too much indecision. And so I'll pick something the night before. I'll have it ready to go. As soon as I get into that bathroom to brush my teeth, I hit play. And the first thing I do is I drink a whole bunch of water. I literally will get up, walk out to the kitchen, have a huge glass of water. Like I'm talking almost 64 ounces.
Because that kickstarts the system.
Absolutely. Like you probably know, like you wake up, you've been in a fasted state all night, you're dehydrated and you need, and often what will happen, this comes back to that misinterpretation of signals where people think their energy is low, they're just dehydrated. And so I get a whole bunch of hydration into my system. And I turn my coffee pot on, go into the bathroom, brush my teeth, turn on the podcast, get ready, come out, have my black coffee. And I actually also have something called Spring Dragon Longevity Tea. And I've been doing this for a while. I love this stuff. It's cool. So if you search Spring Dragon Longevity Tea, amazing stuff, tons of health benefits, but it's also very good at optimizing insulin response and blood sugar levels. And so I have this all through the day between my meals, before and after training, to help stabilize my blood sugar levels as much as possible to keep my energy stable through the day. Awesome. And it's really been profound for me. So I had that, had my black coffee, had my podcast. I actually sit there and just kind of breathe. I just slow my breathing down. I actually have on my phone, once I've listened to part of my podcast on my phone album, you know, there's like a little heart symbol in your album where you can click certain pictures or videos that like you love. And I'll click on that heart. And what it does is it pulls up all the photos and pictures and videos of stuff that means something to me. So it's like lots of pictures of my daughter, lots of videos of my daughter, lots of videos and pictures of us traveling and doing things that really brought us to life. And I kind of use it as like a visual meditation. So I'll scroll through that while I'm listening to the podcast, just kind of getting myself into like, like a different state, starting to get myself into the state of like being thankful, being appreciative. Even if I have a lot of work happening that day, I can handle it because I'm lucky that we live in this like environment and like this world and this country that we live in where we have all these opportunities. And so head to the gym. Usually what I'll do is I'll play some music for the first half of my workout because that's usually where I'm doing my heavier lifting. And then as I'm tapering down into the sort of more isolation work that I do, I move back into podcasts again. And so I'll start listening to a more extended version podcast, something that's more educational. And then I'll jump in the sauna right after my podcast. Right now I'm doing a little bit of a niacin sauna protocol. So I'm taking niacin in the sauna, which makes you flush and it can actually help, release a lot of like heavy metal buildup that's deposited in your fat cells. And so right now I'm going through like a week protocol on that, but normally I'll jump in the sauna for about 30 minutes and I'll actually jump back and forth intermittently, sauna, cold plunge. And I'll do that back and forth for about 30 minutes, have a quick shower, cold shower, head home, and then start my day. And so my day, like, dude, that's all prep. So like I'll be up at 4:00. My day starts at 7:00 and I'm home in time for my daughter to get up. I get her dressed. I get her teeth brushed. I get her some water and then we start work. And so part of that is like mental preparation. Like, cause one of the things that I know for myself, and I don't know about you, is sometimes I will wake up and I'll feel anxiety or I'll wake up and I'll feel self-doubt or I'll wake up and I'll feel like negative emotions. And I recognize that I need to go through these habits to shift my state from feeling like that to feeling like someone who's like far from that.
Yeah.
And that's why I do that process.
And the key is, Fraser, is you realize that you're in that state and you make a conscious effort to do something else to get you out of that state. And as you know, brother, a lot of people just stay in that state and it consumes them. And I got to tell you, brother, that's probably one of the best morning routines I've ever heard. I mean, that is amazing. And I love what you said about just, you know, taking the thought out of things in the morning because you're preparing the night before. And we used to do that in the military all the time. So get your shit ready before you go somewhere.
Dude, I mean, like you need to be ready to go. Right?
Exactly. You need to be ready to rock. So all your stuff needs to be squared away the night before so you don't have to think about it. Like you said, you just go and flip the burner on the stove to fire up your coffee. Love it. Now, what about a book, brother? I know you're very, very busy. What's next for Fraser?
Oh, man, that's definitely something that I want to do. I have, you know, so much, accumulated knowledge around the psychology of, you know, how our psychology affects our physiology and plant-based nutrition and peak performance. And all these things coming together. So that's definitely in the works. But right now, what we recognized in the fitness space that we work in the nutrition space, was that, as you probably know, I think the industry in and of itself is pretty archaic. It's very old. And I think what happens is people get given a diet plan and a training plan. They do it and then they relapse. And they do another one and then they relapse. And they do another one and then they relapse. And I've noticed this pattern in the years and years that we've been doing this where it's just this broken cycle of repetition. And I said to myself, like, how have I been able to make these results stick? Mm-hmm. And part of it was exactly all the things that we've talked about. And so what we're doing right now, and this is a huge part of coming back to like what is in the works for us, is we're literally overhauling our entire coaching experience, where we start people from. We basically give them a mindset overhaul right out of the gate. And it's all around these different, but what we do is, because mindset is quite a soft concept, like it's not tangible. You know, there's no hard lines with mindset training. It's very sort of philosophical. And I think that's why people struggle with it, because it's hard to have tangible steps when it comes to cultivating a better mindset. So what we've done is we've spent a lot of time synthesizing out hard concepts from what is actually known as like a soft concept. So tangible, concrete steps to cultivate a shift in your psychology. And part of that is our new, we're actually beta testing it right now. And so if people, for example, went to, you know, our site, www.evolvingalpha.com, and they sign up on our email list, you're going to be getting updates on that. So the first process is this mindset experience that we're doing. And then we're moving things over into this whole process of, we're not giving people a templated diet system anymore. We're actually helping them understand their biofeedback to uncover and unearth what foods, what food combinations, and what meal timings are going to be optimal specifically for them.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing is really geared around, so say for example, like you said, you know, when you work night shifts, like forcing someone to do a plan where they're eating 7 meals a day and they're doing all these things that are not congruent with your shift work or the type of environments that you're finding yourself in, it's not going to work. And so we need to find ways to optimize those people where they're at, dependent on their lifestyle. And so we have a whole lot of systems coming out. Like it's called Veganize Your Life, Veg Fit Life Academy, Veg Fit Life Bootcamp. The high level one that we've just finished refining is called Peak Veg X. And basically what that's like is it's like a concierge service where they people at the high level have me on like basically on demand, where we use a platform like Slack where we do daily messaging, message updates. We adapt things on the fly because, dude, one of the things that I realized was that we needed to find ways to add more of these nuanced things into our systems, like I was telling you. And definitely off the back of that, eventually, like a book, I think, will be important, because I do want to share. Like, I see a lot of people, you know, like I was saying to you before the show, I have people that I would check in with and I'm like, hey, how's so-and-so? You know, we used to hang out a bunch when I was younger. And they're like, oh no, he's been in and out of prison like ever since. And I'm like, and so like, how did someone like myself go from being associated with those people and in those circles to where I am now? Mm-hmm. And I need to be able to synthesize that information into like tangible steps for people, because there's so many people, like you were saying, who just wake up negatively and they fall into this belief that they believe their initial thought about themselves. So they don't recognize that they can change how they feel. They wake up and they think, I'm anxious, I'm feeling miserable, I feel negative. And then they start living into those thoughts, and those thoughts feed on themselves.
Yeah.
And what I do now is I understand that I'm having those thoughts, and I understand that it's part of the human experience. I also understand that I can do things to change those thoughts and get out of that. And so, dude, coming back to it, I mean, we're really changing our whole process to be geared around exactly what we've been talking about in this show.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things, Fraser, you know, brother, you cannot control in your life, but the one thing you can control is how you think and your mindset. Yep. So it all starts with that. And I believe too, Fraser, I believe the people you associate with, you know as well as I do, sometimes you have toxic people in your life. You did, I did. And sometimes you just have to let go of those people because they're going to bring you down. You need to surround yourself with the positive influences in your life that are going to pump you up. And sometimes that's hard because sometimes they're family members. But I've always said you can love your family members. You just don't have to associate with the toxic ones all the time.
and you can love them from a distance.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And you know, one of the things that I say to people is that, you know, if you have a bad environment and you're around negative people and you're around negative circumstances, but you're eating really healthy and you're doing all the workouts, it's like planting a fruit tree in concrete and watering it and expecting it to grow.
Yeah.
Like you're not going, you can water that tree as much as you want, but if you plant it in something that's toxic, it's not going to produce fruit. Whereas you need to sometimes transplant that tree into a new soil, which is very traumatic. I mean, you're uprooting literally aspects of your life, but through that uprooting process, you then can cultivate fruit later on. So you have to be prepared to mentally uproot your life if you want to get better results.
And it's never too late, right, brother?
Never too late, man.
Well, Fraser, you are the man, brother. I have learned so much. I hope the listeners
I appreciate it.
If people want to reach out to you, brother, where can they find you? I know you mentioned it before. Can you mention it again? And mention social too, because you're big on social media.
Yeah, so we are at Evolving Alpha on Instagram. We're also, you can find us on Facebook, Evolving Alpha. I'm on Facebook as well, Fraser Bailey, FraserBailey. And our website is www.evolvingalpha.com. And like I was saying, like we have, I put out emails around this type of content every week, and we have so many new systems coming out around peak performance regarding plant-based nutrition and lifestyle optimization that will be coming out in those emails. So if anyone wants to go over there and subscribe, they can do so as well. So, Patrick, I appreciate you, brother, for real.
Thank you, man, brother. And I can't wait for, I know you were talking, we were talking a little bit off the air about you, maybe you making a trek to Colorado. I'd love to meet you in person, my friend.
And it's so beautiful.
Oh, it's so gorgeous. But much success to you, my friend, and your wife, Lauren. You guys are doing amazing things. You are helping so many people out there. Everything you just said, brother, will be linked up in the show notes. If we can ever do anything for you, Fraser, please just reach out to me, and I'd love to have you back on the show. I could talk to you all day. Somewhere down the road, I'd love for you to come back on, brother.
Thank you. I would love that. Thank you, Patrick.
All right,
really,
brother.
Really appreciate it, brother.
You take care of yourself.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.